strange,
invisible
energy,
voice,
guider,
powerful,
mysterious,
waiting,
present,
holy,
feeling,
comforter,
advocate,
flame,
witness,
revealer,
sealer,
peacemaker,
shield,
ghost,
dreamlike,
breath,
manifestation,
tranquil,
constant,
dove,
abstract,
enigmatic,
loving,
supernatural,
eternal,
shapeless,
inviting,
sacred,
elevated,
God.
Well, good morning, Overflow Church. How you doing this morning? Are you doing good? Man, thank you so much, Joel and the worship team. Man, first and foremost, we had a couple of new folks on the worship team. Holy smoke, they were singing, amen? Like the way that they say where I grew up, they were singing. They were singing. Man, the Spirit's been moving this morning. And so I want to be sensitive to that. So I'm not going to spend too much of your time here. We're going to jump directly into it. Would you turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 through 15? With that being said, I want to say that we're going to continue to create space in this service for what the Lord is going to do. So I want to prepare your hearts that at the end of the service, we're going to spend just 5 minutes in deep prayer and calling and asking God to move in our community. Amen? Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 through 15. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people that you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on the oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants, and I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you, because you are stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way.' When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on ornaments. For the Lord has said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites, you are stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you.' So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent and all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and whispered, worshiped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, 'You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people.' The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.' Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here.' This is the word of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these moments that we have together. Now, Holy Spirit, would you move? Would you move Elijah out the way? Would you speak? Lord Jesus, would this not be just another great sermon or great communication, easygoing zingers that we can remember and write down in our notes, Father God, but may we sit with the weight of what you are saying. Not more head knowledge, Father God, but would you move this knowledge of who you are, who you want to be, how you want to reveal yourself to us from head to heart. from heart to hands and feet, calling us to respond how you desire in this season. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, you may be seated. If I were to be honest with you this morning, I've been kind of dreading this Sunday. I've been struggling to think through what this Sunday was going to be like, right? All around the country, churches do something like this. It's called Vision Sunday. Basically, what happens is the pastor, the lead pastor, the senior pastor kind of goes away for a season or something like that, and they pray and they ask the Lord to give them wisdom about, like, where are we going as a church next? Where are we going as a church? And then we come back and we cast vision about, like, hey, here's the next things that we're gonna do. Here's all the stuff that we're gonna do. We're gonna build more buildings. We're gonna plant more churches. We're gonna take more ground. We're gonna do this thing. And I wanna be honest with you. I have been struggling and I've been dreading this Sunday because I'm like, I have not heard God saying do any of those things. I've been trying to figure out, Lord, what do we do? Because here it is, God has been moving at Overflow Church in a unique way. Let me just give you a couple of things that have been happening here at Overflow Church. On an average attendance, right, over the last almost 2 months, we've been averaging over 400 people coming into this building, right? Come into this building. You can clap for that God has been doing that. To put that in context, just last year, we were averaging around 250. Like, God has been doing incredible things here at Overflow. We've seen just in the last couple of Sundays, 17 people give their lives to Jesus. What makes that unique? What makes that unique? And that's the people that have responded and said, I have given my life to Jesus. We know that there's been more that have raised their hand, but maybe we're afraid to make even that next step. We've seen on this property alone, 13 baptisms already. Just last week, yes. Just last week, we had 9 baptisms, 4 of them which were spontaneous, meaning this, that those people responded to what Jesus was doing in their heart, and they said, I want to go through the waters of baptism, dying to the oldness of death, raised to the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Like, that's just happened in this time. And so God has been moving, and there's been amazing things that have been happening in our community. And like, in me, there's like this desire, okay, so like, we need to do more. We need to take more ground. So my natural desire, right, is like, my mind starts going. It's like, okay, what's next? How can I dream more, right? How can I make more plans? How can I draw up more blueprints, write more strategies? And like, then we'll conquer this mountain. Like, when I say God has been doing something, let me take it even a little bit deeper. This right before our worship night. How many here were at our worship night when we cleared these seats and then we just basically praised God for like 2.5 hours in this space? A couple hours before our worship night, some friends which go here at the church, they're connected to some family members that don't even live in Michigan. But they see what the Lord is doing. And they invited me to come a couple hours before the worship night. I was like, yeah, I can meet you. I got like 20 minutes or whatever. I'll come. He's like, yes, we'd love to meet you. We're going out of town. We were here visiting friends, but we want to talk to you. They start having this conversation with me about how they see the Lord is moving in this community. And they hand me a check for $30,000. Right. And they say, like, let this go to whatever the kingdom, whatever God wants to do here in this kingdom. Like when I tell you God is moving, and so naturally, like again, right, the pastor, the visionary in me is like, okay, let's do more stuff. Because here's the truth. We got a church full of families in this church. I don't know if you look around, but there's an army of kids running up and down this building. On an average Sunday, there's anywhere between 100 to 150 kids that are here. I would love to build a playground. At some point, we will build a playground because I'm so tired of seeing them jump on our couches. I want to build a pavilion out here so that the kids can just play and rejoice and have fun with their families, and picnics and birthday parties can be had here on this property. We need a bigger AC unit here. I don't know if you can tell, but it's warm. We've been cooling this place since yesterday. We just bought this AC unit, but this building was not built to hold the amount of bodies that are in here at this time. This is built a long time ago when people didn't care about air conditioning. And not just this AC unit that we just bought, which we're like, okay, we need more power. That means redoing the ductwork. On the other side over here, like the AC unit just kaput. Again, this building was built in 1953. I'm pretty sure that's as old as the AC unit. And like, it is like, it just died on us. And so like, we've moved into the space, but there's so many more things to do. I don't know if you'd be keeping count. We're up to 2 AC units already. We want to repave the parking lot at this church because I don't know, some of you guys, which are newer, you don't remember what it was like swerving through sinkholes at 300 East Napier Ave, just praying that your car doesn't fall into the abyss. We need to finish some paint jobs here at the church. We have a food pantry initiative that is being led by our very own Rachel Scheinman out there, and she has been cranking away. We have a reading program for our schools that is in development from a woman of God that just moved here with her husband from DC, right? And like, she is doing work and she's retiring, and her daughter lives in St. Joe, and she's like, I don't want to retire. I want to continue doing kingdom work. And so she wants to help children in our backyard learn how to read, to come along schools. Like, and so as I prayed this week, as I just kind of asked God, what do you want to do? It's like this thing, is it more stuff for us to do? Is it more buildings for us to build? Is it more mountains for us to climb? And I've got to be honest with you, I don't think that's what it is. I don't think it's more stuff. And I'm not saying we're not even going to do any of this stuff. But I think, like, I don't think that the Lord is saying to me in this moment, to our community, that, hey, let's gather up our strength and do more stuff. Because it's really easy to do that. And I was at this conference I left here after Sunday, and I headed to this conference. It was a 3-day conference. And they're just talking about the Holy Spirit. And I remember God was just engaging with me and challenging me on like what this looks like as I was in my hotel room being woken up in the middle of the night to just like about the presence of the Lord. Like, what will the vision for this next season of our church be? And you see, I think the vision is not about what you do. It is about whether you listen and follow to the Holy Spirit's call. I think that's what the vision is. And I want to be very honest because I'm a man of mixed motives. I just want to be honest with you. It's really easy for me to do this because then, like, whatever those insecurities that sometimes lie inside of me, some pastors may not communicate it, but like, man, I want to see this church grow more. I want to see more people in here. I want to see 5, 6, 7 services. I want to plant multiple churches, and then maybe, just maybe, that people will see that God is doing something in overflow, and then God is doing something through Elijah. Yeah. Like, there's a thing inside of my flesh that says I want to be in control. And you might not say the quiet part out loud, but I think all of us have those little things in us that say, okay, I want to move ahead of God. I want to do it my way. This is human nature. We get impatient. We believe our way is better. We think God has forgotten about us, so we'll just go ahead and do the thing. And what is interesting is that we start listening to every other voice instead of the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm afraid about that. One of the most powerful examples of this is found in Exodus 33. Let me give you some context of what's happening. Exodus 33 is kind of like the hinge point in the story of Israel here and the church. It is this crucial moment because in Exodus 32, the children of Israel had basically disobeyed God. They'd built a golden calf to worship God through the golden calf. Now, mind you, that God right now in this moment is within eyeshot. They can see that God is on the mountain with Moses. That literally there's a pillar of fire and smoke that has descended on the mountain. Moses goes to go meet with God because here it is in Exodus 19. God calls the children of Israel. He says, hey, don't you remember I took you out of Egypt, right? I brought you into the promised land. You didn't have to pick up a sword. I parted the Red Seas. You walked on dry ground like it was me, and I am going to be your God and you will be my people. I am doubling down on the promise that I gave to Abraham that through you, all the nations will be blessed. In fact, you are my chosen people that I will use for this. He uses the Hebrew word. You are my segula. You are my prized possession. And then they see the smoke and they see the fire and they say, no. You get, like, somebody else represents us. We don't want to go into the presence of God. So this is what they did. They chose to be a kingdom with priests instead of a kingdom of priests. They abandoned what God wanted to do through all of them. All of them in this moment were supposed to be on the mountain receiving what God wanted to do through his chosen people. And they said, no, you just pick a couple of people and you do that through them. And so Moses is gone just for a little while and they think he must be dead. Let's build God in our own image. And Exodus 33 is the aftermath of that. God is speaking to them. And here's the thing that I want you to understand really quickly. We can hear God and not allow God to lead us. We can end up hearing God but not allow God to lead us. God is always going to be true to his word, but he will not follow a stiff-necked people. See, that's old way of saying it. This is another way of saying it. A hard-headed people. Look at what God says in verse 3 of Exodus 33. Here it is. God has said, okay, I'm going to give you the promise, right? I'm going to give you everything that I said I was going to do because I am a God of his word. I do not lie. Look at verse 3. He says, so go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not what? Go with you because you are a stiff-necked people. He says, I will not go with you. God is saying, if you don't want to follow me, I will not lead you. The consequences of not hearing and following God is that we end up doing it by ourselves. And here's the scarier part about this. Watch this, that it could look like God is with us. Did you hear the promises of God in verses 1, 2, and all the way till we get to 3? You get to go to the land of flour and milk and honey. You're gonna get all the stuff. It's going to look like I am with you, but I will not go with you. You will do it by yourself. If I have to be honest with you, Overflow, my fear is that in this pivotal moment of our life in this church, that we can fill up more seats, we can do more services, we can have more baptisms, but if we're not careful, if we're not following the leading of the Holy Spirit, it will look great, but it will not have God in it. It will look great, but it will not have God in it. And I don't know how many churches are right now are open doors where there are thousands of people coming in and out. But for whatever reason, when you go on social media, when you walk around, it seems like more Christians are filled up with hate and anger and frustration, right? And partisanship. And like we're redefining what does it look like to follow Jesus? What does it look like to be a Christian? And somewhere along the line, the church in America is failing. We're failing. And God is saying, yeah, it looks great. Go ahead. But guess what? I'm not with you. And my fear is that we would do that. We would do the thing. So like I'm a nerd when it comes to like church math, right? I'm a nerd when it comes to church math. Like I dig in it, it's my job. I have to know what happens. Sociologists tell us that like once you reach 150 people, you are no longer able to actually fully know everybody in that space. You cannot have a relationship in a group with at least 450 people, right? Like that ends. You have to now try to reconfigure. When you get to about 250 people, right, the dynamics change. You either keep growing, you have to figure out because there's a ceiling there, or you start declining in number. But you can't stay at that 250 number. Part of the reason why is because the dynamics of the relationships have changed in the room. But there's something unique when you start hitting that like 450 to 500 number. That's where we're at right now as a community, right? There's something unique that happens there is that there actually is no more ceiling until you get to about that 800 or 900 number. You can just keep growing. And my fear is that we would lie to ourselves thinking that we are hearing God's voice and we will just continue coasting and growing. And like we will not be challenged by what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our midst. That God wouldn't unravel our hearts, that we wouldn't break for what breaks God's hearts. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was a public execution of a man. His name was Charlie Kirk. Some of you know him, I'm sure, because it flooded your timelines, right? And this is what I saw. I saw Christians saying, oh, like this person is the most Christian, blah, 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 blah. And then I saw other Christians going, hey, like this person wasn't a Christian. And like, listen, here it is. We didn't even take time to lament that death happened. This is what I'm talking about, church. We're more concerned about being right than the fact that somebody lost a husband, somebody lost a father. Like we're more concerned that like that something is being eroded from the inside out. So Christians started getting on each other's social media platforms and started trying to vie for who is right instead of what is God doing in this moment. And even in this moment, I can tell, I bet you some of you are like, oh, what's he gonna say? And it's ungodly. I'm just being honest with you. And here it is, because we got churches that have built themselves on the image of man and not of God. And God is not in it. God is not in it. And my fear is that we would find ourselves in the same space, on one end of the spectrum to the other. But I love the way that the scriptures describe what's happening with Moses here. Jump with me really quickly. Exodus 33, verse 7. And I want you to jump to 11 here, because this is what's happening here in this text. Because here it is, like the context is that Moses is literally going to the tabernacle. And the presence of God is descending on the tabernacle. The people can literally see it. But remember, the only person who's allowed to come into the space where God is Moses, because the children of Israel had abdicated wanting to be in his presence. And the Bible tells us that they were standing at their tents when they were supposed to be in the presence. They were standing at their tents and they were worshiping from a distance. And then in verse 11, the scriptures describe Moses like this. Look at this. It says, then the Lord would speak only to Moses face to face as someone who speaks to a friend. Said Moses had learned to hear God's voice. And in this hearing God's voice, Moses then prays this prayer out loud to God in the midst of them, right, about to abdicate the presence of God. He says in verse 15, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not send me. Like, do not send us. We will not go if you do not go with us. Moses is saying, I'd rather stay in the desert with you than live in the promised land without you. See, that's what it looks like to be led by the Holy Spirit. To say, God, I don't want your gifts without your guidance. I don't want your promise without your presence. The problem is that so many of us are so eager to get to the finish line, we forget that God said, that's not the way I'm moving. And so for some of us, it's our jobs. It is the golden calf that we worship God through. God, I've made it. I got that six-figure job. For some of us, it's our relationships, right? I finally got my husband. I finally got my wife. Now I'm complete. And all of my energy, my soul, all of this is in this. As if that somehow God can play second fiddle. And God says, that's fine. And you can go. But I'm not going with you. Are you with me, church? We have to be careful. We have to be careful that we can hear God, but not let God lead us. But see, here it is. It's not just hearing God's direction. It is also allowing God to transform us in our hearing. See, we can hear God, but not allow God to change us. Jump with me really quickly to Numbers chapter 20, verses 10 through 13. Here's the same Moses which had walked with God, which had seen God face to face, the Bible says, that was called a friend of God. And yet Moses was holding something in his own heart. The context of this verse is that the children of Israel have been going through the desert and they're now struggling because they have no water and they're thirsty. And they want to drink something, their livestock, and they're complaining again. And Moses is sick and tired of it. And that thing that he had not allowed God to do in his heart, to change his heart, the anger that Moses had carried in him rose up. And listen to what the scripture says, verses 10 through 13. It says, and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of the rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with the staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I have given them. God had told Moses to speak to the rock. Moses gets so angry and he breaks the rock. Moses had an anger issue. You don't believe me? Go all the way to Exodus chapter 2. Moses is seeing, right, the children of Israel being bullied by the Egyptians, and he goes and he literally murders an Egyptian soldier. You don't think that's anger? Go to Exodus 32, right? He's on the mountain with God. God has literally wrote the tablets down for him, the Ten Commandments, and he comes down and he sees the children of Israel, right? And they're doing things that are not godly, and instead of allowing God to move, he takes the tablets and he throws them. The Bible literally says Moses' anger grew and he threw the tablets on the ground. Moses was hearing God's voice, was in the presence of God, but he wouldn't let God touch his one thing. And that was his anger, and it caused him to be able to walk into the promised land. Here is my fear, that we can be hearing God's voice and not allow God to change us from the inside out. What does it matter if all of this stuff is happening and we have more buildings and more churches? And listen to me, we're planning on planting churches out of this place and we do more stuff, but here it is. If God is not changing and transforming our lives, then what good is it? If we're not living holy lives and we're just talking about holiness, what good is it? The world won't change because we haven't changed. See, the problem is that if we're not careful, we can hear God but not hear God. Are you hearing me? We can hear God but not hear God. And we can hold on to our secret sins and our secret stuff that holds our hearts hostage. And I think God is calling for a group of people that are so in love with him and so in love with his word and so want to see God transform us from the inside out that revival would actually break through. And I think the world is looking for a church that would stand in the gap and actually act like Jesus. That's what revival looks like. It was Leonard Ravenhill, who once said that as revival comes, God is not concerned about filling empty churches. He's concerned about filling empty hearts. And the world right now has empty hearts that desire to be filled. And I think the only way that it can happen is if we get on our knees and we pray and we ask God to transform our lives. The prayer only happens when we go to the Lord and say, God, won't you move? God, won't you change what is happening in us? It happens through prayer. It was Andy Murray who once said that the coming revival must be given with a great revival of prayer. It is in the closet with the door shut that the sound of abundance of rain will first be heard. Charles G. Finney said, a revival can be expected when Christians have the spirit of prayer for revival. So here's what we're going to do. Instead of me giving us all these tasks that we're going to do, we're going to enact what God, I believe, wants to do in our community. He wants to say, he doesn't want us to be people which are just like, okay, what's next? He wants us to be people to say, God, we will not go unless you go with us. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to put a countdown clock in for 5 minutes. We're just going to pray. We're just going to pray that revival would stir up in our lives. And here's two questions that I want us to pray through. What does hearing and following look like for me? What does hearing and following the Spirit look like for me here in this moment? And what does total surrender look like to God? What does total surrender look like? And we're just going to pray for the next 5 minutes. We're just going to ask God that he would move in our spaces, church. I do not want to be a part of a community that says, God, we will go without you. It is fine. No, I want us to cry out to the Lord in this moment. We will not go unless you go before us. So I would ask you, however you feel fit, if some of you want to come to the front here and just on bended knees cry out before the Lord, you can do that. If you want to sit in your seats, if you want to stand up with a posture like this to pray, you can do that. This space is open. We're going to pray for the next 5 minutes, and then I am going to come and share what I believe God is calling for us as a community to do, to close off this sermon. Let's pray. Thank you. And I remember I was sitting in that room and I was challenged and I felt like I heard the voice of the Lord. I'm gonna ask you guys just to give me a couple more minutes. I know I'm running a little over time, I'm sorry. But I felt like I heard the presence of God, the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, Elijah, you are dreaming too small. You're dreaming too small. And I remember coming back to my wife and saying, hey, like, I feel like God has been like challenging me. You're dreaming too small. And I already knew what that meant because all I was dreaming for was for Overflow Church. I was dreaming about like what this could look like and how we can continue growing and all this other stuff. And God started challenging me. Is it your kingdom or is it my kingdom? God gave me a heart for the region. I don't think it's by any coincidence that we have people who drive as far as Niles, from Kalamazoo, from Water Valley, from Bangor, from Coloma, St. Joe, Stevensville, Fairplain, all of that. Different people from different backgrounds, different ethnicities. I think God is doing something here. I think God is calling Overflow Church to lead the way in a new way, but not to put up the Overflow banner, but to put up the kingdom of God. And so this week, as I was just praying, God, what do you want me to share with your people? Where are we going next? The Lord put these two words in my heart when I woke up. It was these two words, presence and encounter. I believe God wants to bring revival to our region. I believe God wants to see us experience his presence and then encounter his Holy Spirit in a new way. So I called my big bro, Dr. Andrew Robinson, the right bishop, Dr. Andrew Robinson. And I said, hey, God put this on my heart. What do you think about this? And he encouraged me. And so this is where we're going next. We're going to, as a church, I want to thank you for your generosity. We're going to pay to meet at this place right here, the Mendel Center, on January 25th. It holds 1,500 people. And we're going to ask churches throughout the Regis to come. And this is not an Overflow event. This is a kingdom event. And from 5 to 7:30, we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to bring revival in Southwest Michigan area. Right? We're going to call down the name of God. And everything, all the demonic forces that have caused, man, just a couple weeks, a 15-year-old baby got shot in the head. You don't think that's the force of the darkness in our backyard? You don't think that hearing some news of somebody in our community sexually abusing women is that's the kingdom of darkness on the move? And I think it's when the church stops trying to build its own kingdoms and starts lifting the name of Jesus. And so I already reached out to our neighbor right here at Napier Baptist. I said, hey, this is what it's going to look like. And we're asking that your congregation would meet with our congregation. And like, this is not an Overflow thing. We're gonna ask churches to come and pray. And for 2.5 hours in the Mendel Center, we're just going to lift the name of God. He's like, I'm in. He said, I'm in. And so we're gonna be calling our friends all around, whether it's Missionary Baptist, you name it, or First Church, or Blue Roof. This is not an us or them. It is about the church, being the church. This is a marker in the life of our church where we say, we will not go, Lord, unless you go with us. So this is how you can participate in this very quickly, right? Number one, I'm going to ask you to be praying every day. You were able to do it. 5 minutes. That wasn't a lot, was it? Be asking God to burn revival in you and be asking God to burn revival around you, right? Number two, every first Monday, church, I get it. I get that you might be tired, you might be weary, but I am asking you in this season, would you show up to first Monday prayer as we call on the name of Jesus together? We're gonna be reminding you. We're gonna be doing that for the next, to the end of the year. And then we are going to start our 21 days of prayer and fasting for our region and for revival in our community on January 4th. And then hopefully if we can get the date, January 25th, which will be the last day, right? We are going to celebrate. We will not show up here on that Sunday, but we'll meet at 5 p.m. at the Mendel Center with hopefully over 1,500 brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we will call down heaven and then ask God to set ablaze revival fire in our area for God's kingdom and his glory alone. And this is what I know. If that happens, there is no church that will be able to fit the amount of people that will run to the kingdom. Every church in our region will be full because God will have set forth revival. This is not about us. I think God is saying, Overflow, will you lead? Will you be like Moses and cry out in this region? We will not go, Lord, unless you go with us. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you. I thank you for these people. And I thank you for this story, and I thank you for what your Spirit is doing. I pray that we would hear you fully, Jesus. That we would hear you fully. I pray that, Lord Jesus, our hearts would be ignited to prayer, to bended knees, to weeping before you, to hearing your voice, and to following your leading. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.